I preached in large cities, hamlets, isolated farms. I spoke openly in the north, covertly in the south, where communist influence was strongest. At first glimpse, it did not seem to me that the church in Yugoslavia was under any particular persecution. I had to register with the police when I moved into a new district, but I was free to visit believers, even in their homes. Churches operated openly. After a while, I abandoned the pretext of bringing greetings and simply began to preach. No one objected. Except for certain restricted areas, mostly along the borders, I was free to travel wherever I chose within the country, with no government guides to check on my activities. This amounted to a real kind of freedom, much more than I had expected, but bit by bit, as I got to know Yugoslavia better, I became aware of the slow wearing down process the government was exerting on Christians. The effort seemed to be centered on the children. Leave the old folks alone, but wean the young people away from the church. One of the first churches Nikola and I visited was a Roman Catholic one in a small village not far from Zagreb. I noticed that there was not a single person under 20 in the entire congregation, and I asked Nikola about it. In answer, he introduced me to a peasant woman who had a 10-year-old son. "Tell Brother Andrew why Yosef is not here," said Nikola. "Why is my Yosef not with me?" she asked. Her voice was bitter. "Because I am a peasant woman with no education. The teacher tells my son there is no God. The government tells my son there is no God. They say to my Yosef, 'Maybe your mama tells you differently, but we know better, don't we? You must remember that mama has no education. We will humor her.' So, my Yosef is not with me. I am being humored." A few days later, in another town, we were visiting a Christian family when I saw a little girl playing in the dust outside the house in the middle of the day. "Why isn't she in school?" I asked Nikola. From the mother, he learned the story. Marta was accustomed to saying grace before meals at home. When it came time for the school lunch, Marta had given thanks aloud as she always did, without even thinking about it. The teacher had been angry. Who had supplied this food? God or the people through their own good government? "That was a wicked thing to say, Marta. You'll fill the other children's minds with nonsense." But the next day, so deeply was the habit ingrained that Marta did it again, and for this she had been expelled. It was in Macedonia, however, that we encountered the first signs of real fear on the part of churchgoers. The poorest of Yugoslavia's six states, Macedonia is also the area where the party is strongest. Our first speaking date in this part of the country was scheduled for 10 o'clock in the morning.